Welcome to the hottest new podcast around. Good Things Come in Threes, with your expert panel of hosts, Pastor Jack Horner, Pastor Liz Fry, and Pastor John Brock.
Welcome to the podcast of Trinity Lutheran Church in Camp Hill, Pennsylvania. For Good Things Come in Threes. It's very pleased to be with you today. My name is Pastor Jack Horner, and I'm here with my colleague, Pastor John Brock.
Hello there.
And Pastor Liz Fry is on vacation. And plus, we're going to be talking about a topic that she showed no interest in. We want to thank
everyone. We love you, Pastor Liz. We love you.
We want to thank everybody who joined us the last time for our conversation about Holy Week, and especially for all the nice comments and cards. I think I got more comments on our last episode and just how meaningful it was to be able to talk about the events of Holy Week and what it means to our Christian faith from people. And it was just really, really sweet. And I just want to say, I really, really appreciate that. It's always nice to get a nice card from people and where they just say, hey, listen to the podcast. Wow. That was really awesome. And just, it was just really, really nice. So again, thank you for all those nice comments and cards. Please keep those coming. And if you think there's something that the pastor should talk about, why don't you share that with us as well? We're always looking for topics to be able to discuss on this podcast. And we'd love to hear your comments on that as well. Our topic for today is a really kind of an interesting one. And we brought in a special guest. So we're going to be talking about what we as Christians can learn from the iconic movie franchise Star Wars. And today we have a very special guest, a member of our congregation, Jeff Rehm. Say hi, Jeff.
Hello there.
Jeff lives in Mechanicsburg with his wife, Christine, and daughter, Sadie. And they've been attending Trinity actually the same time as me since 2013. He's a home mortgage consultant for Wells Fargo, and his father-in-law is a retired Lutheran pastor. And he also happens to be a huge Star Wars fan. And when we were thinking about this topic, we said, you know what? Jeff is like the major Star Wars nerd that we have in our congregation. We really need to ask him to be a part of this. So Star Wars is near and dear to my heart. I will never, ever forget the very first time that I saw it. It was late August 1977, and I saw this movie that just exploded. Literally begins with the explosion of music and the preface that's rolling across the screen about what it's going to be. And I was just mesmerized by this story, the mythology of it, the battle between good and evil. Even as a kid, as a kid who was 12 years old, I knew that, wait, this is a different kind of movie that I had never, ever seen before. And just knowing now as an adult, it was a new way of making movies and the use of CGI. And it also happened for me at a time when I was just beginning to come to faith. Now, I had been baptized in a Lutheran church, and our family had gone to church, but I really hadn't gone to church that much. And as a young teenager, it's when my family started going back to church again. And really interesting story about good and evil and the triumph of a type of faith, if you will. Really, it was kind of interesting to me, and it's a very in many ways it's a series that is a very spiritual series in a lot of different ways and a lot of different faiths, whether it's Christianity or Buddhism or others. They really get a connection to a lot of the stuff that is happening there. So, what are some of your first memories that you have of Star Wars, Jeff? Why don't we start with you?
Well, I was 8 when I first saw it. It was a movie theater that used to stand out there at the giant parking lot in Camp Hill that's now OIP and all the health offices there. And I was just blown away. I was hooked. I was ready to get the action figures when they came out. When everything kind of died off in the 80s, my fandom kind of waned. And then in the early 90s, Lucasfilm gave permission to start creating stories of what happened after the movies. And I happened to find one of the books by accident, and my fandom just took off to new levels at that point. The Amazon bills from ordering books and comics for the last however many years is huge, especially since when Disney bought it, they erased everything that wasn't a movie or the couple of cartoons and started over. And now I started refilling the collection again.
Wow. That's really, really interesting. And how many times did you watch that first movie? How many times did you see it in the theater before it came out on DVD or, well, I guess VHS?
Two or three, plus maybe one or two trips to a drive-in.
Wow.
Because nothing beats space battles like under the starry sky at night.
You know, that's really
true.
That's
a good point. Yeah.
That is a really great point. I don't think I ever saw it in a drive-in, but I did go back 8 times to see it. I think one of those times, I think they re-released it like a year later.
Yes.
And I decided to go see it one more time in the theater. And of course, I've watched it numerous times on either tape or now it's streaming. Now you can watch it all the time in the streaming service.
Well, and he re-released them in the early or the mid to late 90s for the 20th anniversary. So it would have been 97. He released the original trilogy again to build up interest for what became the prequel. And like the good Star Wars nerd I was lined up at opening night, ready to go see it.
You know, that is a really good point. So that means I saw it 10 times because I also did see it when they added all that extra CGI stuff. That's true. I forgot about that time. How about you, Pastor Brock?
Well, so I, unlike you two gentlemen, I was a freshman in college. And so it was fall semester of our first year at college. And so several of us friends left campus and we went down to the local mall to where the Cineplex was and got seats. And I think I vaguely have a remembrance that there were like five of us guys sitting about four rows from the very front, but we were in the center. So, you know, when the battle cruiser comes, you know, and over the head, it really came over our heads or it really felt like it. You know, being a bunch of 18-year-old males, we all enjoyed it very much. To the best of my memory, I think at most I might have seen it only one other time in a theater. Of course, when the DVDs came out, we have those and I've watched that thanks to Disney Plus, like you said, you're nodding, Jeff, you understand that. Yes. So we can watch it as much. I have to admit, I am probably not nearly the Star Wars fan that either of you are. I liked the original trilogy. At the risk of sounding sacrilegious, I have never seen episode 3 in its entirety. We did see, I'm sorry, Jeff, I'm glad you were sitting down.
It's one of the best ones.
We did go see episode 1, remembering that A New Hope is episode 4, that right. We saw episode 1 in the drive-in with our boys when they were little, and Marianne and I went and saw episode 2 at some point, but by the time 3 came out, we had been so disappointed by 1 and 2 that we didn't feel like going to see 3. Whereas, let's see, 1, 2, episode 7, 8, 9, Marianne and I both went to see probably within, not opening day, but probably within the first couple of weeks of them opening.
Yeah. Yeah. I grabbed my kids out of school so that we could get to see the first showing. Cause I think it was like a 4:30 or showing o'clock showing. Yeah. And I grabbed them out. And then I think for the last one, so that would have been episode 3. I think it was that one. I grabbed Krista and it was a midnight showing or 11 o'clock showing or some crazy. Yep. It was some crazy thing. And I grabbed her to see all that. Yeah, I am a Star Wars. I don't know if I'm a Star Wars nerd. I am certainly a big Star Wars fan, especially for the movies themselves.
Well, episode 9, I had shattered my wrist the night before, and I had a ticket for noon showing on opening day. It was the first ticket you could get around here, and I couldn't drive. And my mother, who was caretaking me while Christine was at work, wouldn't take me to see for my noon. All I was going to do is sit there and watch it because that's all I could do at home with Netflix and anything else. So I eventually did see it the day after, but I will still harass my mother, who listens to the podcast, so she'll hear this, to no end, that she denied me my chance to see episode 9 on opening day.
Wow. That's just terrible. That's really, really terrible.
She still owes me $10.
Okay. I'm sorry to hear that.
You got a ticket for only $10. I'm impressed.
Christine took me the next night, and I got to tell you, on pain medicine, jumps to light speed were cool.
That's great. So we're going to be talking about what we as Christians can learn from Star Wars. And I have to say, originally, I had 10 things that we can learn from Star Wars, but our producer, Daniel Andrews, said it was too much because she had never seen Star Wars and didn't want the podcast to be 2 hours long. So therefore, we had to cut it down to 5. So we're going to be doing the top 5 things that we have learned from Star Wars. So here's the first one that I had written down, and that is sin and evil is real. Sin and evil is real. And you can definitely see that almost in the very beginning of Star Wars, when all these guys in white hats are fighting these strange stormtroopers that come through, bursting through. And then you see the figure all in black, with a helmet that strangely looks like the German helmet from World War II, just larger. And you see this, the dark side of the Force and everything that it means, doubt, greed, anger, and all of those things. So that was the first one that I thought. So I'd love to hear your reflections on that as well.
Yeah, it's visually, they did, and all the movies, they did a very good job of making the evil look evil with color schemes and costuming and things like that. And as I got older and you understood a lot of the dialogue a lot better, it came through even more clear as to understanding good versus evil. And they, if there's one thing they did well, because everybody likes to pick apart all the movies for everything, they truly made you understand good and evil throughout the entire saga.
Yeah, they're definitely good guys and there are bad guys. But you do see that you do see that interaction between good and evil, and how difficult it is sometimes to maintain that balance, right? Yeah. So we see characters that are kind of playing or on the edge of the dark side of the Force, if you will. So in the movies, just so that people know, there's the Force is this overwhelming force that connects the universe. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, it's a positive force. It holds the universe together, even down to the molecular level. It is peaceful. It is about love. It is about self-sacrifice. But there's this other side of the coin. There's a dualism that's going on, and there's a dark side of the Force. And as I said before, the dark side of the Force, there's greed is involved, and what can happen when anger takes over one's life, and even just the doubts that you have, and how others can play on those doubts and questions that you might have about the faith. And certainly that's what we see happening with the evil characters, the dark side of the Force characters, right? They want to play off of the vulnerability that they see in other people and try to influence them to the dark side, of the Force. And one of the things that we see with that, in especially those other sequels, the 1, 2, and 3 sequels that actually take place, you know, those are written after 4, 5, and 6. So if 1977 was episode 4, and then I don't even know when episode 1 happened, but it was
99.
Yeah, in 99. And there we get to see that even the best can fail and fall from grace, so to speak. And of course, we're talking about Anakin Skywalker, who ends up becoming then Darth Vader by episode three. And of course, he's the one that we see in episode four that it was so powerful, such a powerful performance. What am I thinking? A verbal performance. Is that right? That's not the right word for that. What is it? What
am I looking everything. For? I mean, the fact that they had him so much taller than everybody else, the deep booming voice, the breathing, he just looked terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was part machine at that point from all of the fights and everything that he had been through. Right. I mean, his legs were not his own legs, his arms and hands were not his own arms and hands. He had to, the only way he could live and breathe was through that filtration mechanical device.
Suit, yeah.
Yeah. Mechanical yeah. suit filtration device. Yeah. And so it had that iconic, you know, anyway,
you were practicing that.
I have been practicing that. Yes. For those of you can't see, I've also been practicing with some of the toys that I gave my kids when I was growing up. Those were not mine, but I kept them because they were my favorite toys to play with my kids on. And I have actually Darth Vader's TIE Fighter as well as an X-Wing. And so that's kind of fun. But yes, I was practicing that.
Still your best children's message.
There we go. thank you.
Well but you know, Jack, yes, I think Anakin Skywalker's transformation into Darth Vader is a good metaphor or a good visual for most of us. To me, the one that I really identify more so out of all nine of the movies, I really love the way that Luke struggles in episode six, mm-hmm. because that I to me because he doesn't give in, yet we know what a good guy he is. We've seen this for two movies, even after the devastation that happens to him at the end of episode 1, 2, 3, 5, where, you know, where his hand is cut off and it's revealed that Vader is his father. I look at that from the standpoint that those of us who strive to live our lives as Christians, as believers, so often, you know, we get so down on ourselves when we do stumble, when we do fail, when we are tempted. Yet, you know, those things happen to Luke, and just because, you know, I'm not speaking linearly because my thoughts are 12 steps ahead, but I've run into people who say, oh, I've done such an awful thing. I know God can't forgive me, but I want to try to be an example for my children so they don't end up going to hell the way that I am. And I try to explain to them, you know, in ways that we can understand. And I think the example of Luke is one of those ways that we can be tempted. We can even fail. God loves us enough to pick us back up again, mm-hmm. and put us back on the path. Now, I don't necessarily know that's where Spielberg was going with the story of
Lucas.
I'm sorry. Thank you. Where Lucas was going with that. But, you know, to me, that's what I see when I see the story of Luke in those original three episodes.
That's a great point, John. It really leads us right into our next point of what we can learn is to surround yourself with believers and doers.
Yeah.
And we see this mentorship. That's a big, big part of this Star Wars franchise of people taking care of people and the friendships. I mean, the friendships are really special that you see there throughout that movie. Jeff, why don't you share with us what are some of those friendships that you see that really are a part of it?
Well, you have in the prequels, you have Anakin and Obi-Wan, a very big mentorship/friendship. As you get into the original trilogy, you have a little bit with Obi-Wan and Luke, and then later Yoda with Luke. Mm-hmm. You also have one with Han, Luke, and Leia, with the three of them all feeding off each other and going into good. And then, of course, when you get into the last set of movies, you have Luke guiding Rey, you have, of course, Leia still being Leia, even Han trying to be a scoundrel, but still end up doing good. Mm-hmm. Finn and Poe, that whole little grouping there. So right. you throughout the each trilogy has like this grouping of three that, which is relevant to the podcast. You have this, and of course, you know, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you have this grouping of three that are always believers and doers trying to make good things happen.
Yeah. And it's that interaction between them that really creates the, I think, the energy of the movies and the specialness of the character development. I think it's really kind of neat the way, I mean, they really did a fantastic job, I think, conveying the care and the love that they have with each other. Even if you know, they had to develop some of that, obviously. But by the time you got further into the movie series where those characters were together, you really got that sense with that. And they were all fighting. They were all fighting and a part of, which is here number three, we are a part of something bigger. Yep. The force is this force that leads us to goodness, to righteousness. And we see that, this rebel faction that is trying to overturn the evil of the empire. The people are working together because they know that this force is meaning to bring people together, not to tear people apart or not to subjugate certain kinds of people. And you see that in the other movies, whether it's with the Empire or whether it's with the First Order that comes in those later episodes. And these causes, this cause of the rebellion, if you will, righteous causes are worth dying for.
Rebellions are built on hope.
And the rebellions are built on hope. And you see a lot of those sorts of interactions of people giving their lives for that cause. And of course, in the original episode in 1977, it was Obi-Wan who, you know, gives himself over so that he knows that he can carry on the fight as this almost, I don't want to say spirit, but, you know, he can continue to mentor Luke in spirit, if you will. If he allows them to get away from the Death Star. And of course you see a tremendous sacrifice from the people of Alderaan, one of a planet that's actually blown up by this Death Star, this big mechanical flying space station. They also sacrifice themselves.
For Rogue One, the whole team on Scarif doesn't make it out, but they get the Death Star plans out.
Right,
which
right.
ends up yep. leading to literally the beginning of episode four, as we know it. Everybody just calls it Star Wars, the original movie.
Yeah. That's right. And I got to tell you, when I saw the ending of Rogue One, I mean, I had goosebumps, absolute goosebumps, because of course I had seen it 9 times. So I knew how the story began, and here I am watching this thing, which is literally like 5 minutes before. You know, I had to wait how many years? 45 years. I had to wait 45 years to get the 5 minutes before the beginning of this whole Star Wars thing.
Did you go home and then watch A New Hope again?
Oh my gosh.
Funny story, Christine and I saw it for the second time at the theater, and she's no Star Wars, but not on my level. And she said, so how long is it then till four starts after that? And I said, well, let's go home, change clothes, throw the DVD in, and we're right about there.
Yeah. That was absolutely amazing. I mean, that was just fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. So another thing that we can learn. So we said, sin and evil is real. Surround yourself with believers and doers. We are a part of something bigger. And then the fourth thing is, it's never too late for redemption. Yeah. And when we talk about redemption in the Bible, it's the idea that, it all goes back to the slave days in Roman times, where you could purchase your own slavery, and you could free yourself through hard work, or someone else could pay for you to become free, or your master, if you will, could decide to let you go free as well, and that would redeem you. Okay, they would redeem you, and now you would be a free person. So it's all about being a slave to something and then being freed. So we use language like we are slaves to sin, or we're captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. And then we are offered redemption by Christ, who dies the ultimate sacrifice on the cross, and literally dies for us to redeem us, to set us free from sin and death and evil. And it's, we learned in these Star Wars episodes, it's never too late for that. It's never too late for that. And we see a number of characters that have this this thing that happens to them where they're able to make a change and they're able to become different people. Let's talk about some of those, Jeff. Obviously the big one would be
Darth Vader in Return of the Jedi, when at the last moment he turns on the Emperor and throws him down the shaft, saving Luke's life, which then leads to the destruction of the second Death Star. And you know, Luke kept saying there is still good in him, I feel it. There it was, he turned and saved his son and took out the guy who corrupted him and made him into Darth Vader.
Two movies full of there's still good in him, there's still good in him.
Yeah,
even when some of his friends are going bad idea, this is just a really, really bad idea, there is
even Yoda didn't want him to go and face him. He's you're not ready yet, but Luke had that belief. And then in the sequel trilogy with Kylo Ren, or he's also known as Ben Solo, Darth Vader's grandson, also at the last moment turned back to the light side of the Force, so to speak, and helped save Rey and defeat the reborn Emperor. So obviously it runs in the family bloodlines.
And
now here, though, I have to approach sacrilege, and again, and I apologize, but because I'm not as familiar with the original three, the prequels, episode 1, 2, and 3. Is there a character in that arc that does, that has that kind of a redemption?
No, because that is the fall of Anakin.
That's all about
Darth Vader. It's the whole build up to him becoming Darth Vader and the Empire taking over. So there might be a couple of smaller ones here or there along the way, but nothing on that scale.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting to me because we do see that not only in the big nine episodes, but I'm also thinking the standalone movies, like the Han Solo movie, where we do see a bit of that within the character of Solo himself. Because at the end of the movie where he ends up giving power supplies to rebels.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
Han does it several times within the movies. I mean, if you look at the original movie, he just wanted to fly Obi-Wan and Luke to Alderaan.
Yeah.
He didn't want to get involved. Then
yep.
when they got to the moon, he just wanted his reward and wanted to leave, but yet he came back to save Luke. And then again, in episode 7, he was a scoundrel out being a smuggler again, and then came back to get involved and ended up, dying there on the First Order's base.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. So there's a lot of redemption for a lot of characters. So Darth Vader, Kylo Ren, and a couple others that I was thinking of was Lando Calrissian, who was kind of, just looking out for himself and decides to also help with the rebellion. He was someone that was known to Han Solo, who's a friend kind of Han Solo, and in The Empire Strikes Back, kind of turns them into Darth Vader and to the Force, and then decides to, to the Empire, and then decides to fight and try to get him released. As well, and we see that go into that into the next movie then where he's able to do that. And of course Jen Erso, same thing, where she's kind of just looking out for herself and gets involved in this rebellion, and that's the main character from Rogue One, who was excellent, by the way. I thought she did a fantastic job. She was just really, really super. Just real happy with the movie series. They just did a really, really, really great job with it. And you kind of hinted at this, Jeff, at the beginning of what this whole series is about. And this is a theme that surrounds all of the Star Wars movies. If you were going to pick one thing that just really shows what the whole series is about, and that is our fifth thing that we can learn, and that is hope is eternal. Hope is eternal.
Amen.
And even the very first Star Wars movie was Star Wars, A New Hope, right? And so it really sets the stage for these stories of hope and the characters that are a part of them. This release that we have and freedom from tyranny, which is such a big, important part of it. There's always a chance. And in that way, I think the Star Wars almost goes back to, you know, like when you're watching, you know, something about the Revolutionary War in America, you know, this ragtag, you know, people that are trying to do something different and trying to promote freedom and live free and not liking, you know, taxation without representation and all the other kinds of things that went with that. So it's just kind of a neat, it's a theme that I think many viewers probably recognize as well.
Lucas kind of, and even in the sequel trilogy, Lucas kind of beat you over the head with it, with hope. You know, Luke was our only hope, but yet then that one scene in Empire Strikes Back where Yoda says, yes, there is another. Well, you had to wait till 1983 for Return of the Jedi to find out that, oh, hey, Leia's his sister. Yeah. Then you go back to the prequel trilogy and Anakin was the hope because he was the chosen one that they all thought was following a prophecy.
Right.
And then, you know, we saw how that turned out, but then you get into the sequel trilogy and then Rey is the new hope. She is the one that's going to bring back balance to the Force. And, you know, even like Jyn Erso said in Rogue One, rebellions are built on hope. It's all over the place in the series. You can't escape it. And that's not a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing at all. Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of movies where things don't feel too hope-filled. And there's, you know, some things in life that don't feel too hope-filled. And so I think that idea of focusing in on that and kind of the escapism of the whole genre of Star Wars. For those of you that didn't know, Star Wars actually takes place, obviously it's taking place in some other world and some other solar systems, quite a number of solar systems. They're able to travel somehow faster to be able to get, yeah, they don't seem to have to, you know, get the pile into the car and be gone for, you know, 23 hours. Like if you want to drive to Florida, you know, somehow they're able to get there a lot quicker. But it just really speaks to this, to a generation that was looking for something better. Well, that's great. This has been a really great conversation. I've really enjoyed talking about this, of course, because I just love that. I love the movie as well. And so we decided to have a little bit of fun, the pastors, as we were looking for a sermon series, a post-Easter sermon series. And we just love the idea of this, of A New Hope. And we found some really great phrases from Star Wars movies that we decided to turn into our sermon themes. And believe it or not, you're going to see, if you watch us online or if you go in person, you are going to see how these phrases actually fit quite well with the gospel readings. And so we're going to be looking at some of those iconic phrases that were a part of that. And if you allow me to do some more voiceover work, and that's what I was looking for, voiceover work, by the way, for James Earl Jones. I find your lack of faith disturbing. That's going to be the first one. That's going to be Pastor Liz. But first she has to like watch the movie. Hopefully she's doing that while she's on vacation. And then may the Force be with you.
And that's also
gonna,
with you.
Thank you. And that's going to be mine. And, You're My Only Hope. That's a nice one. So that's going to be on April 25th. The Force is strong with this one. That's going to be May 2nd. I'm not sure my Yoda is very good. Let's try. Do or not do. There is no try. Is that okay?
Better than mine.
and then, oh, I can definitely do this one. And then the last one, May 16th, I am your father. And of course, that's Darth Vader to Luke. So so this is going to be a lot. I'm really looking forward to this sermon series. I'm excited.
You hear what I have to put up with, folks.
So this means on May the 4th, you'll be doing the Facebook video thoughts that day, correct?
There we go.
That's right. That's right. We should be. I've definitely got to hit that one, right? You want to explain what that is for the audience that may not know?
Well, they made May 4th Star Wars Day because you can say May the 4th be with you.
That's right.
That's in normal years. That's like a big gathering down in Disney. A big convention is tied in with it. It's just become a great amount of fun for Star Wars fans. You'll see 20,000 memes floating around Facebook and other social that's media right. that day. Yep. And yeah,
that's a lot of fun. That's a lot of fun. So anyway, so thank you so much for listening to our podcast. And we want to remind you that for you to be the church, remember that Jesus is Lord and to share the good news. So thank you. Thank you very much for joining us. And we hope you join us again next time when the three pastors will be getting together and talking about, well, who knows what we're going to be talking about, but we're going to come up with something really cool about that. So now I hope that you seek the good.
Be the good.
Share the good.
Because good things come in threes. Pastor Brock, would you send us out with a blessing?
Absolutely. Almighty God, we thank you that you continue to speak to us in our lives in this day and always. You speak to us, Lord, through not only through your scripture and through as we're gathered together in worship, Lord, but you also speak to us through means around us, through each other, and through wonderful ways like movies. Whether or not those movies were ever intended to be you speaking to us, Lord, we can hear your word through them. So help us, Lord. Help us to hear with our hearts and our faith, as well as our ears, and that you would continue to guide us so that we might always strive to be the good in this world that you call us to be. As we pray this in your holy and gracious name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, everybody, may the force be with you.
And also
take care. Take care. God bless.
See ya. Bye.